Let's turn our Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. It is Communion Sunday. We're going to minister on that. Not necessarily exactly that, but all the songs have been about the cross, the blood, Christ, and friend, that message can never get old to us. Hallelujah. You say it may be 2,000 years old, but I'm going to tell you, it's just like it happened today for me. Born again of His Spirit, washed in His blood, headed for heaven. No greater hope. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18. For the message of the preaching of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but unto us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And if you'll skip down to verse 29, same chapter. That no flesh should glory in His presence, but of Him are you, and you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Father, I pray, Lord, your anointing upon the ministry of your word today, God. Teach us, Lord, and instruct us. Keep us, Lord. Help us to hear what you have to say to the church. In Jesus' name, amen. Is God. We'll talk today about what Christ became for us. And Christ didn't become something else. He's always been holy and pure and true and powerful. But He came down on our level. Amen. And talked to us. As a matter of fact, He became humanity. And so we know that. So God knows how to deal with us. He does deal with us. Praise God. Amen. Sometimes it's hard for us to get it through our mind exactly what God does. A man came home from work one day and he's very excited. And he told his wife, he said, I've discovered something today. He said, I've discovered that fish oil increases brain activity. What do you think? He shouldn't ask her that. She said, I think you need to eat a whale. But let me tell you something. On the serious end of this, when we get into the activity of Christ at the cross, that's really where life begins. And again, God begins to do a work in us mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually when we talk about the cross and the blood that was shed. Amen. So I want to get into the Word of God concerning that today. It's stated here in the verse 30, there's four things that Christ became for us. I want us to look at this for just a moment. Verse 30, Christ became for us wisdom from God. He also became righteousness. He became sanctification. He became redemption. These four things there we're going to look at for just a moment. So if you're wondering what I'm going to preach on, that's it. But what Christ became for us, it's true that Christ didn't become something else, but we can see Him as, first of all, wisdom for us. I've seen a lot of things in this world that weren't wisdom. You and I both, I'm going to have confess for you, we've made choices in life, mistakes in life that weren't wisdom. Amen. Many people think that we are proven to be foolish because we believe in Christ. No. Wisdom is to believe in Christ and to walk with Him. Amen. And we've seen a lot of things in our world that are considered wisdom. And there's an example that a mask may keep one from disease or sickness. I know you're here, you're hurt, you're tired of hearing about masks. I am too. But, you know, if masks could take away all Egyptian plagues, surely God would have had the Israelites to wear a mask when He put out His wrath upon Egypt. Don't get me wrong. They serve their place, and I'm no doctor, then you know that. Also, faith in God brings the wisdom of God. We've got to believe in He's who He says. He's all wise. He's wiser than you and I and anybody and everybody in the world. He's wise. And Christ became for us wisdom. When we learn to depend on Christ's wisdom by faith, then we can make it through life, praise the Lord, the way we need to go. And people today are, I'm tired of hearing about it, and you are too, but bear with me for a minute if you would. But society today is trying to mask the cross, trying to mask the message of God's written word, trying to mask everything. Amen. And when we mask God's written word and we mask who God is and what he is and we mask his wisdom, what happens is the foolishness that's happened in Minnesota and rioting and produces all kinds of behavior that's out of control, sinful behavior. But you see here, Christ has made unto us wisdom. His words 2,000 years ago told us there could be and there would be wars and rumors of wars, and there would be pestilence and earthquakes in various places. And so we know that God's word very clearly tells us that. Matthew 24 and 12, it tells us that. And it tells us, then many false prophets will arise and deceive many, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. And so I don't think you can have anything worse than a cold church and a people that are not in love with Jesus, and their love has grown cold, and they don't love God like they once did, and they don't worship like they once did, and they don't see God as necessary as they once thought him necessary. And I'm going to tell you, God is not just necessary. God is the only reason we have hope of heaven or eternal life. Amen. And so Christ has made unto us wisdom. And God's in his wisdom tells us that people in the last days will be sinful. Amen. Men will be love. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Men will be lovers of themselves. Selfishness. Yes. Lovers of money. Man, boastful, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. The word lovers is used here 4 times in this passage in 2 Timothy. Many people are in love with a lot of things, but if we're wise, we're going to be in love with Christ. Amen. Not one thing that we can earn, not one thing we can buy or purchase in this world will buy an ounce of eternal security for us. We must have Christ, his wisdom. Praise the Lord. And so we cannot be in love with the wisdom of this world. We must be in love with the Christ who gives spiritual wisdom. Praise the Lord. And so Christ became for us wisdom. We can say a lot about wisdom. But let's move on. Christ became for us righteousness. Hallelujah. A lot of people don't like to talk about righteousness because it gets down to holy living. But you don't know God did intend for us to live holy. He said in his word, you be holy for I, the Lord your God, am holy. He didn't say just be holy if you feel like it. He said be holy as I am holy. Okay? And Christ has made righteousness unto us because in his word he reveals his own righteousness. Isaiah 64:6, very familiar passage, says, for all of our righteousness are like filthy rags, and we fade away as a leaf in the wind. So we see we cannot produce being good enough for heaven, or being good enough to stand before God, or being good enough to inherit eternal life. It has to be given, and something has to make us righteous in order for us to stand before God and he accept us. Well, we know that God did that in his Son, Christ. He became righteousness for us. If we look at the Garden of Eden, sin there, and God created mankind perfect, could a holy, perfect God do anything different? No. He created mankind perfect. Amen. God said, let us make man in our own image, after our own likeness. Let us see that they have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over everything that creeps upon the earth. Amen. So God made man in his own likeness and image. And so, but man, when Adam and Eve failed in the Garden of Eden, man fell from his divine fellowship with God. Think of that. He had nothing separating him and God. They could talk together, walk together. They could live there in one life and not feel condemned. There was nothing there that separated God and man. They were perfect fellowship. Amen. It'll be that way again one day in the new heaven and the new earth. But until then, amen, we need Christ to walk with us. All before Adam were born, all after Adam was after Adam and Eve sinned, would be born with a sin nature, and that it would be a tendency to do evil instead of good, a tendency to sin instead of do right. And so there is no righteousness in sinful man. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Amen. And so mankind, Adam, when he sinned, he became lost. Amen. He lost his righteous standing with God. He lost fellowship with God. He gained separation from God. He gained judgment for his sins. He gained sinful nature to do evil instead of good. He didn't gain very much, but he lost a whole lot. But man's attempt to be righteous before God always fails. And you say, well, if you'll go by my rules, if you'll live by my philosophy, what I've come up with, somehow or another, God will accept you and you'll be righteous. Not really. Amen. And I don't say this to make fun of anybody, but you know, many years ago, legalism had its way into the Pentecostal realm. And legalism is simply man-made rules to obtain God's favor. And I don't, you know, when we dress, we ought to dress right. We shouldn't dress sensitive and provocative and all that stuff that goes with it that the world does. But, you know, I grew up when ladies had long dresses that drug the floor sometimes. When I was in college, they had maxi clothes. And their skirts drug the floor. And when I was in Bible college, we used to ask the girls, can I borrow your dress? I want to set up a tent revival. But just that within itself, long dress, long sleeves, long hair, and generally a long tongue to match with that. So, no, that is not righteousness, but God is a true source of righteousness. He's made unto us righteousness. And Jesus never sinned. Jesus lived a perfect, pure, holy life. Amen. Never one time did he fail. He was tempted in all points like we are, but yet without sin, he never failed. Amen. And all the way to the cross, when he went to the cross, he had never sinned one time. He had never fallen short of the glory of God. He never sinned against his Father, not even once. And God is a true source of righteousness. From him comes the power to live a righteous life. My friend, you can make up rules all you want to, but until you come into contact with God and get close to God and be filled with the Holy Ghost, you're not going to live a holy, righteous life. But in him, amen, if you're not able to do it on your own, and you're not, you can have God's help. Jesus said you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And that power is not just to make you speak in tongues. That comes with it, yes. But God gives you power to live a righteous, upright, holy life, and the power to say no to sin and yes to righteousness. Glory to God. So Christ has made unto us not only wisdom, but he's made unto us righteousness. And we must have his righteousness, the only true righteousness there really is. And we can be clothed in his righteousness. Clothing is important. Some people don't think it is, but it is. I know it's getting near spring and people dress like they've been to a half-off sale. Had to throw that in. But we must be clothed with the righteousness of God. You know, perfume may make you smell good, but if you haven't bathed in a week, you still stink. Am I ever going to get out of this? Yeah, maybe. In the book of Isaiah, it says, Isaiah 61:10, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. So God is the one who makes us righteous so we can stand before his Father uncondemned one day. Amen. Glory to God. In the book of Jeremiah, it's promised there, Jeremiah 23:5-6, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise up a branch of David, or David a branch, from David a branch. He's speaking of the Messiah, Christ here. A branch of righteousness, a king shall reign and prosper and execute just judgment and righteousness in the earth. In his days, Judah will be saved and all Israel will dwell safely. Now this is the name by which he will be called, say it, Hebrew name, Jehovah Tsidkenu. And so that doesn't mean anything to me. But Jehovah Tsidkenu means the Lord our righteousness. And so is prophesying of the time when there would be a branch from the root of David, out of the descendants of David, the kingly line of David. And Christ would come through that, praise the Lord, and he would be the Lord our righteousness. And because of Jesus' work at the cross for taking our sins upon himself by faith, we can be clothed with the righteousness of God. Amen. We can be pure before God in heaven, and he'll look at it and he'll see the righteousness and the perfection of his sons. And he says, well done, good and faithful servants, enter into the kingdom of God, because we're clothed with the righteousness of Christ. Famous verse, 2 Corinthians 5:21, God who made him who knew no sin be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So when a person is truly born again of God's Spirit, they are clothed with the righteousness of Christ. They may be full of faults and failures and sins, but when God cleans a person up, he does a good job of it. He clothes us with his own righteousness. It doesn't mean that you see what else you can get by with, because you can't get by with anything. God is all-knowing, all-powerful, and sees everything and knows everything, but yet we can walk with him and talk with him, and this God that we serve is wonderful. He's majesty, he's powerful, he's gracious, he's glorious. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Amen. And so the Lord is our righteousness. What is God to us? What is Christ to us? He is made our righteousness. Praise the Lord. Number three, Christ is made or became for us sanctification. And so sanctification is a powerful word. It's a term that's used throughout Scripture. It is a doctrine, major doctrine of Scripture. And people don't like to preach on it too much because it makes people nervous when you talk about being sanctified, because people get to naming things you ought to be sanctified from. But sanctification has a double meaning. It means separation from evil, number one. Number two, devotion to God. That's it. And so separation from evil is something that we work at all of our lives. We have to. Because there's evil out there to take advantage of us and overtake us if we don't. And God, by his Holy Spirit, gives us the power to be sanctified. You know, there's a scripture that says, sanctification of the Spirit and belief in the truth. Yes? The Holy Spirit of God helps us, leads us in a place where we'll be sanctified from evil, where we won't be partakers of that which can destroy us. And we as believers are a separated people, not an odd people, or ridiculous to look at, or anything of that nature. I mean, Halloween's not till October. But anyway, but as believers, we are to separate ourselves from sinful activity, sanctified. Amen. And some things just don't mix with Christian living. Kind of a bad example of that is if you look to foods that we eat, some foods just don't mix together very good. You don't get a dip a bluebell and take a bite of onion at the same time. Or I don't, you may. There's some things that don't mix with Christian living. I'm just going to say it. Sex outside out of marriage doesn't mix with Christian living. We live in a society that simply can't think of anything else except sex. I tell you, there's a lot more to life than that. But fornication, sex outside of marriage, doesn't mix with Christian living. And so that part of our being, and it is, sex is a part of our being, but it is rebellion against the sanctity of marriage unless it's done in marriage. It's beautiful when done in the union of marriage between one man and one woman. Amen. So God created Adam and Eve, yes. God didn't put Gertrude and Jezebel together. He put man and woman. Adam and Eve. And God made that the way it's supposed to be. And I don't care what transgender or whatever they say. I don't care what is popular. If God's word doesn't back it up, I don't care how popular it is. It's wrong. It's sinful. God can save people like that. And God can save the homosexual and the lesbian. And God can save every person from every kind of sin they've ever committed. But he didn't save us to stay in it. He saves us to deliver it. That's what salvation means. It means deliverance. And God does deliver and set people free. That's what he wants. Okay? Separation from evil, devotion to God. Sanctification means devotion to God. Serious about being faithful, devoted to God, His Word, learning how He wants us to live. Amen. You say, well, I don't want to hear any more sermons on how to live. My friend, God in His Word tells us how to live. He told Israel He didn't want them living like the Canaanites. He gave them 10 commandments they were supposed to abide by, which if they had of, they would have never suffered the judgments that they had. And you and I need these commandments as well. Praise the Lord. But being devoted to God, people devote themselves to things they believe in. And so people that are really servants of God, they'll devote themselves to worship of God. They'll devote themselves to being faithful to God. They'll devote themselves to serving the Lord and wanting to be used of God and to be serious about lost people. Because when a person truly gets born again, hey, I want somebody else to have what I've got. Man. And sometimes we're not as excited about it as we used to be. But you know, if we pray through and get full of God's Spirit, God will help us the first love to return. Praise the Lord. And so our love for the lost becomes stronger as we draw close to God, as we become more sanctified. We're more concerned about people that are lost and going to hell than we were before. I don't want anybody to die and go to hell. You say, well, you don't. If you knew what this person or that person had done, you wouldn't want them to go to heaven. You wouldn't want to share heaven with them. Let me tell you something, friend. There's people in heaven that right now that would never have been saved, that you would have never approved of, but they got saved, and God, by His grace, saved him, and the blood of Jesus covers them, and they're clothed with the righteousness of Christ. They're before God today accepted by Him, because God is merciful, just, and kind, and holy, and willing to save whosoever will. Regardless of what depths of sin you may have gone to or people may have gone to, there is nothing that God can't reach, and there's no person that He can't save. Amen. I know that because He saved me. Praise the Lord. Separation from evil, devotion to God. God has made unto us sanctification. Last of all, number four, God has made or became for us redemption. And to be redeemed means to be purchased or to be bought back from something. And in the spiritual sense, it means to be bought back from sin. Because you see, we were raised, we were born until we were saved. We were property of the enemy. We were the property of a sinful nature. And so when Christ died and redeemed us, He bought us back. Purchased us. Price His blood. To illustrate this, let's look at Mark chapter 5, where we find Jesus delivered what we would call the demoniac. He was fully demon-possessed, a man who spent all of his times crying and cutting himself with stones, and spent all of his times in the graveyard, in the tombs. But one day he looks up and sees Jesus standing on the shore. And I'm certain the demonic spirits that were in him say, don't even look at him. But he ran to Jesus. Man. Because you see, there's someone that could help him. And he knew he was a slave. And he came before Jesus. And Jesus and the demon began to talk through this man. Demons. But you see, Jesus set him free. And he didn't just have a few bad things happen. I mean, he was fully possessed of the enemy. He would do unnatural things, like cutting himself with stones, like playing in the tombs all night. Amen. And nobody could tame him. He'd been often bound with chains and fetters. Nobody could take control of him, because he was possessed by demonic powers, supernatural powers of demon spirits. It took something greater to set him free. You see, Jesus came along and delivered him. And he would run through the tombs naked. But deliverance was on the way, and Jesus spoke to the demonic spirits, and they had to leave. Because you see, Jesus has all authority in heaven and earth. When Jesus said go, they had to go. They ran into a herd of swine and ran down a cliff and perished in the sea. The hogs did. And the next time we see this man, no longer a slave to sin, no longer demon-possessed, no longer crying and cutting himself with stones, no longer running naked through the tombs, but we see him clothed and in his right mind. Clothed with God's righteousness, clothed with Christ, what nobody else could do. Christ has made unto us redemption. He was no longer under the grip of sinful behavior. But Christ became redemption for us. The cost was the sinless blood, his own blood. Peter, it says, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, because you can't buy redemption. You can't buy salvation. You can't purchase acceptance with God. But with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish, without spot. Man. And so the blood is what the price it costs, because you see, there could be no perfect blood in sinful humanity. Every man born with the mark of sin against them, every man born with a sinful nature, what did it take? It took God becoming a man. He became sin for us, not a sinner, but an offering for sin. And so that's what God did. He condescended to humanity. He didn't have to leave the glories and the power and the perfections of heaven and come down to us. That's a love that's beyond human explanation. But God does love. Praise the Lord, us. And that's Christ has made for us redemption. And the blood of a sinless sacrifice, his blood dripped from the cross that day. Amen. And darkness covered the earth for 3 dark hours. Amen. As our Redeemer dealt with sin, praise God, he redeemed us from sin. He made salvation possible for whosoever will. That's why we remember what Jesus did for us at the cross. That's the reason we take the emblems of communion, because we know that Jesus paid it all. He did what no man could ever do. He did what no religion could ever do. He made us clean and pure and acceptable before our Father in heaven. And one day we'll stand before God, yes, fall at his feet and cry out holy, but yet we'll be cleansed and clean and covered by the righteousness and the perfection of the Son of God, Christ. Hallelujah. So